Good morning. Let us have a word of prayer to start things off. Heavenly Father, mighty and glorious God, you've given us provision. You've given us the ability to come here together as a body of believers. Lord, where two or three are gathered together, we know that you're here. And we thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, they called in the troops. If you don't know who I am, thank you. If you don't know who I am, I got to take this off. Oh. See how you can become acclimated, institutionalized so quick? It don't take long. I want to try to connect some of the dots for you. I've been coming to Living Hope Church for, I think it's about 27 years. Many of you know me from that, but you don't know much about me past that. Other than that, you know, I come and et cetera, et cetera. How the Lord connected the dots in this whole thing, and it's very important in connecting the dots. He orchestrated all of this. About 3 months ago, a group of brothers that men's group that I participate with, it's called Warriors at Heart, men's ministry. You can Google it and look it up on the internet. We decided that we were going to have what is called an advanced camp. And at advanced camp, this is the leadership of Warriors at Heart. We get ministered to literally by leadership within the group. I was called upon to give what I want to call a preachamony. Now, what a preachamony is, okay, is where you're preaching, but you're telling your testimony. And that's a word that I made up myself. Okay? And I was called upon to follow a video. And the video was from was made over at Kairos College, over on the Eastern Slope near Colorado Springs. And I was to follow a black man by the name of E.W. Jackson. Very eloquent speaker. Look him up, Google him, etc. And I totally felt inadequate, honestly. You know, how do you follow a video? You know, you can't look at him because he's gone. You know, it's like this dark screen up here. It's gone. So the Lord said to me, and yes, he does speak, and I'm learning after 72 years to really pay attention to what he says to me, because it's important if he says it, just like this book up here, the Bible. He said, Bill, you just tell him about what I want you to tell him, and you tell him the best way that you can tell him, and I'll fill in the blanks. Before you know it, and understand this, Bill is a crier. Okay? I may look like a tough guy, and I can be a tough guy. But when the Holy Spirit hits me, I start crying. So, if I start blubbering, just say, well, God's got him. Okay? I came here to Colorado. Why? You'd never guess. I came here because I almost married my first cousin. Okay? You got to know where I'm from. I'm from the state of Kentucky. Okay? I'm from the state of Kentucky. And more specifically, I'm from the western part of the state of Kentucky. 25 miles can be 2,000. Won't go into all that story, but that led me to sojourn, move to Colorado. Got a job with Blue Cross Blue Shield, moves me over to Grand Junction, where my then wife, yes, I'm a divorcee, proud of it, because I can't change it, but I'm happy with what God has given me now. Amen. I get over to Grand Junction. We buy a house in Fruta. I want to bring up something to you men. I want to talk to you men. Ladies, you can listen if you want to. Okay? Your identity is not in your business. It's not in your music. It's not in your studies. It's not in what you've done in the past. Your identity is in Christ Jesus. Come to reckon with it. Come to grasp that. Come to pull it into yourself. Why? Because that's where Christ has to be. And it took me 72 years to finally understand that. My identity was not in my job, not in my business, not in cars, radio, hunting, fishing, etc., etc., golf. Hey, none of that. My real identity, the real me, is established in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got a whole list of I had to put my glasses on to see them, but I have a whole list that I'll just partly get to as we move on, because I want to cover this part. Your testimony, nobody can take that away from you. What you tell people about what God has done for you, nobody can take away from you. They can't change it. They may scoff at it. They may get upset with it. Good. Take it up with Him. Because what we're to do as men is to tell other men about what Christ Jesus has done for you. Can I get an amen from somebody? Thank you. Thank you. That's a part of that Kentucky experience that's coming out. In Kentucky, when the church where I'm from, over here on the left, on this left side, there was a row of men, and every time the preacher hit a spot, he'd look over and they'd say, "Amen, brother." Okay, you'd get that look and "Amen, brother." We're advanced past that. Not so much. Anyway, I make it to Fruta, Colorado, and I had an old 76 Chevy Blazer. Motor was going out. And you guys can relate to this. Have you ever rebuilt a Chevy motor in the engine bay? You never done that? Have you ever done it when it's 20 below zero? Okay. Literally, I'm standing out here at my place in Fruta on South Maple Street. I'm out there working on this engine because I want to go hunting. Okay? And I am feverish. I was driven. Madly driven to get that done. Because my identity was tied into what? Things of the flesh. Just say it as it is. Things of the flesh. My identity was tied into getting out there in the field with my buddies, shooting big guns, having good fun, drinking beer, etc., etc. That's what Bill's identity was at that point in time. This preacher comes over, Pastor Lippincott, from the First United Methodist Church of Fruta. He comes over. This dude is dressed like he is going to the Bahamas. I'm in a snowmobile suit with them boots that you see on the last Alaskans. Okay, I'm all wrapped up and so forth. And I'm looking at this dude, and he's starting to talk. Guess what Bill does? What comes out of a man's mouth is what is in his heart. What do you think came out of Bill's mouth when this dude comes up and starts talking with me, interfering with my job of getting that motor fixed? Make a guess. Can anybody guess? Swearing. That's an easy word. I was cussing. Okay, I was calling him everything, and he just stood there and kept talking and smoking a cigarette. I think he was smoking a cigarette to stay warm. That's what it was. Because he had this little thin jacket on, and he was pulling up like this, and he was starting to turn blue. And I'm sitting there saying, I wonder when this dude's going to finally give up and go home. Okay, he's looking at me, and he tells me this. He said, Bill, your mother, a lot of you guys knew, remember my mother. Amen? Okay? Your mother and some ladies from the, get this, from the white United Methodist Church, because we were the AME, which is, in essence, the Black United Methodist Church, African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church, Trinity Episcopal Zion Church. Had to get it all in, man. Hey, we covering all the bases, Jack. We ain't letting none go by. And he said, Bill, those ladies are praying for you. I stopped. And it got just about as quiet as it did then. And I said, you say what? Where? Who? Because I knew what my mama prayed. How many of you guys grew up with a praying mama? Amen. There's one brother. Amen. Praying mama. Praying mama. I'm going to tell you what. When the mamas get to praying, you know, you think Kobe Bryant was bad? Okay, they call him the black mama, Mamba, the snake. But you get some praying ladies together. Now I'm going to talk to the ladies. You all get together and you all start praying, man, you'll see mountains move. Okay? You'll see doors flung open that have never flung open. You'll see people's heart change. Because when that dude told me that, Lippincott, I stopped. And it's like I heard something. And it was real distant at first. You know, when you go hunting, and Herb, you can relate to this. When you go hunting, a lot of times you hear these big booms that are close, but you hear these other booms that ain't so close, they're way off. And it was like that, it was way off. I went to bed that night, 2 o'clock in the morning, boom, 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 boom. And I wake up, and I shake the wife, I said, what did you say? Go back to bed, Bill. You just trip it. Okay. Go back to bed. So for a solid month, maybe it was 2 months, but for a solid month, those voices kept getting louder. This is my testimony. Those voices kept getting louder and louder and louder to the point where I could start hearing words. Help him. We're praying for him. Lord. Kept hearing that. Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Kept hearing that. Lippincott, in his wisdom, sent deacons and elders to come see me. I think a lot of times, and I want to break in on this, I think a lot of times, and it's good, but a lot of times in a church, we can make people a project. Okay? We can make people a project. And most people are very astute at sniffing out when you're making them a project. And usually they go in the opposite direction. The best thing to do when you're talking with someone and you're going to talk with them about Christ, be yourself. Be natural. Be just at ease. Same thing if you get into any kind of argument or discussion. Always remain very calm and very at ease. Because when you do that, the enemy doesn't have a whole lot of ground to stand on. Amen? Okay. I wake up one Sunday morning and I tell my then wife, I'm going to church. She raises up out of the bed. Have you ever seen The Undertaker? Does anybody know what I mean? WWE, the under, come on, I got, Margot's the only one that's sitting there saying, yes, yeah, Bill, I know what you're saying. She stood up, she sat up in the bed just like the Undertaker. and looked at me and said, you're going to do what? I said, I'm going to church. Where are you going to church? I said, I'm going to that Methodist church. Here comes the next thing. She said, Bill, you go to church, you'll walk in, and everybody in that church is going to turn around and look at you, and you'll know that there's no God. Man, we're getting serious now. I said, I'll take that bet. That was the Holy Spirit speaking through me. And if you don't think the Holy Spirit can not speak through you without you just even knowing it, that's what happened. It was like I could see the words coming out, but I'm sitting there saying, huh? Huh? Now, understand, I could have won that bet. Okay? You know how I could have won that bet? I could have walked out the door, got in the car, gone over there, gone to Munchie's Pizza, had me something, come back and say, guess what? Everything's fine. People treat me well. Well, Bill, are you going to go back? Nah, I don't think so. You know, I just ain't feeling it. Everything's cool. Give me my $5. Okay. But anyway, I get to the church steps. And tell me if I'm running over time. I get to the church steps. And what is it that Methodist churches have in common? How many of us have been Methodists? Hot dog. All them good Methodists out there. One Methodist church looks like another. Amen? If you go out to Fruta, Colorado today, and you go to that First United Methodist Church in Fruta, and if you could flash back and go to Trinity AME Zion Church in Henderson, Kentucky, them two buildings look like kissing cousins. They were actually identical. And here Bill stands, looking up, because they all have this steps that you go up to, and these doors, and the doors always look like they were big. Look like they were made back in the Roman times, you know, the big, thick doors. And so Bill's trying to get courage. Okay, seriously. Bill is sitting there, and this is where the devil starts working with you. Okay? Because when you start manifesting fear, he is drawn to that just like a grizzly bear is drawn to blood. Just like a lion is drawn to blood. He will start poking at you. And he's poking me. I mean, he's hitting me with haymakers. You remember when you did this? Pop. Remember when you thought that? Pop. And I'm sitting there looking at him. Oh, man. What am I going to do? Holy Spirit says, just walk in. Just walk in. I go up, open the door, and the first thing I see the biggest white man that I have seen since, I don't know what, since Andre the Giant. Okay, I walk in, and he became my best friend. I walked in there, and there stood Bud Musselman. Bud was dressed like he had just come out of the fields. He had bib overalls on, had a cap with the ring around it. I mean, you're talking about the typical white boy. He was looking just like he had come off the plantation. Okay? And I'm standing there looking at him, and he's like Kurt. He's got a handful of programs. That's what I call it. Handful of bulletins. And he looks at me, and I'm going to point this out. He gave me the look. Okay, now I'm going to tell you what a lot of people don't want to tell you, but a lot of black folks don't like that look. Okay, I'm just being upfront with you. We don't like that look. You know, it's almost like, well, hey, what's going on? And what in most cases what they'll do, they'll follow you with it. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever done it? Okay, you can say, well, no, I haven't, but I don't believe you. Okay, I know that at some point in time you've looked at, it might not have been, might have been with the girl with the with all that funny looking color in her sack, because you know what Bill will do? But anyway, he gives me the look. And I kind of back up and I think, oh man, I pray that I don't have to deck this dude up here in this church, because I didn't want to see the blotter. Bill Brown knocks over this white man in the church foyer. But that's what I was thinking about, because that's where my mind was at. That's where my mind was at. My mind was in the flesh. Totally in the flesh. Bud did something that I pray all of us have the ability to do. Bud turned and put those bulletins down. Bud turned and put those bulletins down, and when he turned around, he was a different man. And it took me back. I'm sitting there looking at this because I expected him, expectations. I expected him to come back with the look and force. What he came back to me with was force. But it was a force that controls the universe. Can I get an amen? That force is Christ Jesus. It was in him. He turned. And I'm a fairly decent athlete. Fairly decent, because I've been around some great athletes. Bud covered that 4 or 5 feet like a linebacker. Like the monster that some of us want to be and couldn't be playing football, because our feet couldn't move as fast as our mind could think. He covered that distance, and the next thing I know, he's bum rushed me. He grabs me, he's got me like this. He picks me up off the ground, and he whispers in my ear, "Brother, I love you." Brother, I love you. That is when Christ broke through all the crap. Okay? Just that one act. And then what followed was so important. He took me around to everybody that was everybody in that church and introduced me as if I was his brother. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be Christ-like. And ever since then, I have tried to emulate Christ Jesus, because Christ Jesus was in Bud. He was in the rest of the people in that church. I came to know them. I came to love them. I came to respect them. And eventually, on Easter Sunday, 1980, I was reborn. If you don't know what date you were reborn, you better go and revisit yourself. And we're getting ready to have communion. You better examine yourself. Because I remember the date clearly. I see it every day. I can hear the Pastor McMurphy giving that sermon about the three crosses and the two convicts on the cross. And this white boy, he started preaching like he was just down home. He started looking at people. He went around that room looking at every person saying, "Which thief are you going to be? Which thief are you going to be?" He got down and went around. "Which thief are you going to be?" And then he comes to Bill. And he looks at me and says, "Which thief are you going to be?" Next thing I know, I'm up here. I'm kneeling. I'm crying.
I want Jesus. Because if Jesus can do that to Bud, that's what I want in me. Okay? And that's what Christ wants in you. He wants to be your best friend. He don't want to be the second in line, the third in line, the fourth in line. He don't want to be behind your cars, your planes, your trains, your buses, whatever you got out there. He wants to be number one. And if you don't make him number one, he will do everything that he has to do to establish that position. You can ignore it. You can run from it. You can try to hide from it. And a lot of people do. They hide it in many different ways. I'm going to give you a few scriptures. And I'm sorry I took so long in this preach-a-money. I'm going to start off because in today's time, we've got a nation that needs what you got. What you have inside of you, this nation needs. You don't have to be a pundit. You don't have to get on CNN or Fox News. You don't have to write a book. Great if you do. More power to you. But our nation is this, Psalms 33:12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. This nation is absolutely blessed. We've got an election coming up. All I can do is tell you to vote. We've got an election coming up. All I can tell you is to vote. And I'm going to have to set this down because my thumb don't work anymore. Long story. I'm going to start at the beginning. I'm just going to give you some verses. And then we'll close and go into communion. These are easy to remember. They're all 1:1. Genesis. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Man tries to delegitimize that, but he created everything. This gets down to our personal walk. This is one that I heard Tony Dungy elaborate on very eloquently. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the ways of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Brothers, don't do that. Don't sit in the seat of the scoffer. Don't get to that point. Stand for righteousness. John 1:1. John says it eloquently because the Holy Spirit led him to say it in this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning God. That's who we serve. Don't serve yourself. The flesh leads you down the wrong path. Learn the difference between the flesh, the world, and the devil. FWD. FWD, he ain't your friend. As they say down in Kentucky, he ain't your friend. He's the enemy of your soul. And he will do whatever it takes to defeat you. But here comes the good news. Love this. Isaiah 41:10, ESV version. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So many times in Scripture, the Lord tells us to fear not. Why does he tell us that? Because we like to run back to mama. We like to run back to our fears. Some of us get so comfortable that we get just to the point that we cannot stay away from our fears. God doesn't want us to fear anything. No man, no spirit, no demon. We command demons. We have in us every spiritual gift. every spiritual gift. We just got to learn how to use it. My identity in Christ, according to Ephesians 1:1, I am a saint. Yes, I stand here unashamedly saying, I am a saint. You can look at me and say, well, man, you're the ugliest saint I've ever seen. Good. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. Because guess what? Have you read Isaiah 53? Huh? If you read Isaiah 53, who does it talk about? I don't know how pretty he was, but he was God. Ephesians 3:21, my life displays the glory of God. And your life does that too, if you allow him to do it. God loves us so much, he gives us the ability to choose. Ability to choose, self-will. We can choose either to obey or disobey. Last little thing. My new identity in Christ. And all of this came from our conference last 2 days, Friday and Saturday. See how God connects the dots? God, I love it when he connects the dots. When he connects the dots and you're able to see it, hot dog. You talking about getting with the Spirit, wanting to get down with it? When you see them dots come together, like I've seen the dots come together, oh, it's just so wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful to see your son, see your daughter, see your friends come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Right, Millie? Amen. It's so glorious. You just say, thank you, Jesus. That's all you can say. A few things. I'll hit three of them. Romans 5:17. I am reigning in life by Jesus Christ. I am complete in Jesus, Colossians 2:10. And I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1:3. My last part of this is this. We're about to partake of the elements. The blood and the bread. His body. Christ died that we have the privilege to do this. Don't take it lightly. Examine yourself. Look deep into yourself. And do this often. I have to do it. I try to do it every day. To examine myself. Not to see if I'm worthy. Because I'm unworthy. Christ is the only worthy one. But my job is to please him. Please him. Not myself. The Lord loves us so much. The Father God loves us so much. He gave his only son to die that horrible death, to crawl upon that cross and to stay there, because he didn't have to. But we have to give him honor, glory, and joy and thanksgiving. I pray that you leave here strong. Strong in the fact that Jesus is alive. Strong in the fact that Jesus is in you. Strong in the fact that you can tell your fears to go away. Strong in the fact that you can tell others about what Jesus has done. Jesus loves you. I love you. Go in love. I thank you. Amen.